Hi, I'm Nancy Lita Moss, and before Revive Our Hearts begins today, I'm stepping in to remind you of something important. The program you're about to hear is the result of many, many people doing a lot of hard work. This isn't my ministry. Revive Our Hearts is possible because so many people choose to invest in it out of their love for the Lord and their heart for this message. That includes our ministry partner team. This group of listeners believe in what God is doing through Revive Our Hearts, so they want to share it with others. They also pray consistently for the ministry, and they help make it all possible through their monthly financial support. So that's what the ministry partner team does. They pray, they share, and they give. And that team has a huge effect on this ministry. This month, we're asking the Lord to raise up several hundred new ministry partners. This is your opportunity to join Revive Our Hearts at a deeper level, to make it your ministry, to help build God's kingdom by partnering with other like-minded listeners, and to help women discover, embrace, and delight in Christ and in His great plan for their lives. When you sign up for the ministry partner team this month, we want to welcome you by sending you a signed copy of my brand new daily devotional book called The Quiet Place. There are a lot of other benefits to joining the ministry partner team as well. You can find all the details at reviveourhearts.com.
Here's Nancy Lee DeMoss.
I think one of the ways that you could define much of the scripture is just with these two words, heaven rules. Heaven rules. And you know what? The sooner we realize it, the happier our lives will be. Heaven rules. He rules. He is bigger, He is higher, He is greater than every problem and every impossibility that you may be facing in your life today.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Wednesday, September 26th. God is in heaven. It might seem like everybody knows that, but not everybody acts like it. We don't always live like we believe it or pray like we believe it. Nancy will explain why this concept is so important as she continues in a series called The Lord's Prayer, Part 1.
We're coming today to day 7 of our series on the Lord's Prayer, and we've only talked about the first two words, Our Father. Today we're going to look at the next two words, In Heaven. But I want to just encourage you, you can do this kind of study too. And some may wonder, how do I do that? There's no great secret, and there are no shortcuts. I will tell you that. I started months ago out of a need in my own life, meditating on the Lord's Prayer in my own quiet time. I journal. I write down things as I'm reading God's Word. I'm pondering. I've spent months just word by word, phrase by phrase in my time with the Lord, asking God to open my eyes, asking the Spirit to instruct me, trying to see how words in this passage relate to other passages in Scripture, cross-referencing, and that's how I teach. And then after I've had a period of time of God working a passage into my own heart and plumbing its depths to the extent that I know how to, making it real in my own life, then I'll start to look at other people's writings on the subject. But remembering that those people only wrote what they wrote and got their insights by doing the same thing, and that is meditating on the Word of God and making it real in their own lives. And so then as I come to a series like this, I think I'd like to pass on to others some of what God has been teaching me in this passage, and I try to just shed light on the words, exposit the scripture, bring it up to the light, hold it up. And someone said to me recently, how do you meditate? I said, you just hold it up like a precious diamond or piece of jewelry, and you look at it from every conceivable angle and in different lights, you know, and you stare at it and you ponder it, and then you turn it around and look at it differently, and then you look at it again. And I'm amazed sometimes after doing a study like this for 2 or 3 months, things that will start to come to the surface that I never noticed before. And then other tools can help you do that. So I try to just share with you what God's been teaching me, and then always to ask the very important question, which is where a lot of teaching leaves off today, to say, okay, this is what the Word says, so what? What are the implications of this for our lives? how should this affect the way that we think, the way that we live? So I always try to take it in each session, if possible, back to something making it personal. I write in my notes, actually, sometimes MIP in bold letters, making it personal. Now we come today to those two words, our Father in heaven. And most of you are aware that in the scripture, there are three different uses of the word heaven, three heavens that are referred to. The first would be earth's atmosphere. That's what we can see, the sky and the clouds above us. That's referred to in scripture as heaven, in one sense, earth's atmosphere. And then there's that next level of heaven that's outer space. It's the stratosphere, the ionosphere, and all those other big words that I'm not really quite sure what they mean, but it's the sun, the moon, the stars, the sky. The scripture says in Psalm 19 that the heavens declare the glory of God. That's that whole world of outer space. It's beyond what we can see or imagine, but we know it's out there. And then scripture talks about something that it sometimes calls the third heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, there's a reference to this third heaven. That's the place where God lives. We don't know where it is. We're very limited in our ability to define it or describe it, but it's the place that's the presence of God. Now, of course, God being omnipresent lives in all of those heavens, but there is a distinctive sense in which heaven is the dwelling place of the Lord. So when we pray, our Father in heaven, we recognize God's presence in all heavens, and we see that God is high and lifted up. That when we say God is in heaven, we recognize that he is separate from sinners. We are on earth, he is in heaven. We recognize that he is above all earthly realities and powers. That God is sovereign. That God reigns and rules. So we're not praying to an earthly father. We're praying to a heavenly father who is infinitely higher than any earthly father or power could be. Our Father in heaven. When you put those two phrases together, it says something to me first about the nearness of God, our Father. That's a tender term, a personal term, a God that we can approach. But when we say our Father in heaven, we're talking about the otherness of God, not just his nearness, but his otherness. Not only is he tender and personal, he is awesome and he is great. And not only can we approach him, but the fact that he is our Father in heaven means he is to be respected. He is to be reverenced. Now, I want to just break out a little bit some of the implications of the fact that our Father is in heaven. And I want to look first at his position and then at his person. The fact that he's in heaven, what does that tell us about his position and what does it tell us about his person? First, his position, his place. Heaven, our Father in heaven. Heaven is understood in the scripture as the place of all authority, power, and greatness. Revelation chapter 4, verse 2. Behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. It speaks of the majesty of God, the exalted position of God. A throne in heaven is a place of authority and dominion and power. Psalm 123, verse 1 says, to you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in heaven. God is enthroned in heaven. It's a place, it's a position of authority, of power, of greatness. So when we pray our Father in heaven, we're praying to a Father who is lifted up. He is in a place, in a realm all his own, high above the clamor, the confusion, the din of all the stuff that's going on down here on this planet. Above all wars, above all famines, above all conflicts and problems and issues and death and suffering. It doesn't mean he doesn't care. It doesn't mean he isn't involved. He came to earth to deal with these issues. He has identified with us in our suffering, but he exists in a realm all his own, way above all that. I think one of the ways that you could define much of the scripture is just with these two words, heaven rules. Heaven rules. And you know what? The sooner we realize it, the happier our lives will be. Heaven rules. He rules. He is bigger, He is higher, He is greater than every problem and every impossibility that you may be facing in your life today. The founder of our ministry used to say, and I don't know if it was original with him, but it has stuck with me, there's no panic in heaven, only plans. God is in heaven, our Father in heaven, no panic, just plans. He is our loving, wise, all-powerful, gracious, heavenly Father, who miraculously, amazingly, is not oblivious to our needs and our struggles. It's not like He just sits in heaven and says, you guys figure that out down there. He's not disengaged from life on this planet, but He's above it. He's other than it, which is why we can look to Him for grace and help in our weakness and our need. He knows, He cares, and if we will turn to Him, He has the answers, and He will direct our steps. His position, His place. Isaiah 57 refers to Him as the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. He says, I dwell in the high and holy place. And here's the amazing thing, also with Him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit. Our Father in heaven condescends to visit us here on earth, to care about what is happening with our lives on this little speck of the universe called earth. And so we're on earth. The fact that He's in heaven, we're on earth, that means we look up to Him. We are dependent upon Him. His is the high and exalted position. Now His person, the fact that He is our Father in heaven, what does that tell us about His person? And let me just pick out a few attributes of God here that I think are suggested by the fact that He is in heaven. For example, we know about His person that He is omniscient. He knows everything. Omni, all, science, knowledge, He has all knowledge. He's omniscient. He knows everything about everything. There's no limit to His knowledge. And He has a perspective on this planet. He can see the whole thing. We can just see one little bitty piece of it, one little bitty part of our whole lives. He sees the whole thing, not only what's going on now on this planet, but for all of time and eternity. He has an omniscient perspective. And from His vantage point, He has a perspective that we cannot possibly have down here on earth. He sees how all things fit together. Geography, history, the future, our own hearts. He sees and knows everything. Psalm 33, verses 13 and 14. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where He sits enthroned, He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. That God knows my heart. He knows my issues. He knows my struggles. And He knows how it all fits together in this grand, cosmic, redemptive plan. He is omniscient. Not only does He know everything, He can do anything. He is omnipotent, all power, a Father for whom nothing is impossible. Try and get your mind around that. You can't. I mean, you'll short circuit trying to figure that out. But He is truly omnipotent. Psalm 57 says, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. Because He is our Father in heaven, He has the power to help us when we pray, to do something about our needs. Psalm 68 says, He is the Father of the fatherless and the protector of widows is God in His holy habitation. And Psalm 135, verse 6, whatever the Lord pleases, He does in heaven and on earth. He has all power. There's nothing too difficult for Him. And then He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He knows everything. He can do anything, and He is everywhere. My dad was not an absentee dad. He was very involved in our family. He was home for breakfast and dinner whenever he was in town. But I can also remember times when he left town. He did travel a good deal. He would go on a business trip. He'd be gone sometimes from home for days at a time. And I can always remember the sense of sadness when he would leave. He was a good dad. He was engaged, but he couldn't always be there. He couldn't be at college. He didn't go to California with me to college, and he wasn't there when issues would arise. There were limits to his presence. When I broke up with a boyfriend as a young adult, my dad wasn't there at that moment. Now, he was a phone call away. He cared, but he couldn't be at my side at that moment. Then the day came when he died. But I have a heavenly Father who is omnipresent, always there, a very present help in time of trouble. He's here. Not just in some general theological sense, God is everywhere, but God in heaven is here in my world, in my home, in my situation, seeing my tears, knowing my struggles, knowing the issues that I face. He is a very present help in time of trouble. So the fact that our Father is in heaven reminds us where we are, that we are on earth, He is in heaven, and as we pray, I think it's important to pause, to do what the old-time mystics and divines used to do. They would talk about recollecting. When you go into the presence of God, you stop. You don't just dash in and start spewing out your prayers. You stop and you think about who you're talking to and who He is and where He is. And that will encourage faith and boldness as you go into the presence of God, knowing that these problems that have wrapped themselves around your life are so huge, they're so inexplicable, so impossible to deal with. And we look at just the dead ends in our lives and the mazes and the confusion and the frustration, and we can't figure it out. But when we go to prayer, we stop and we say, "Our Father in heaven." And that gives me a whole sense of breadth and confidence as to God's power, His presence, His ability to deal with these situations that I can't get my puny mind around. He's in heaven, an exalted position, all-powerful. We are on earth, insignificant compared to God. Be in awe of Him. And then we see His dominion. The fact that He is in heaven, His dominion. Our God is in the heavens. He does all that He pleases. Psalm 115, verse 3. The fact that He is in heaven means He's a God who reigns and rules. Daniel 4, again, I love those two words. Heaven rules. Heaven rules. And we're going to come back to that as we look at the prayer in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come." But we realize that whether we want it or not, whether we bow to it or not, whether we worship Him or not, heaven still rules. God is in charge. He has dominion. John Calvin, in his commentary on the Lord's Prayer, said, "By this word, we learn that all things are under His rule." Your husband, your boss, your children, your life, your circumstances, your future, it's all ultimately under His rule. Our God is in the heavens. He does all that He pleases. He is always at work, always exercising His authority, never asleep on His throne. We can sleep at night, we do, and I hope you sleep well at night, because God is on His throne in heaven. There's no point both of us staying up all night thinking about these things. He is able to handle them. And so when we say our Father in heaven, we recognize His greatness, His majesty, His transcendence, His sovereignty, His otherness, His holiness, His omniscience, His omnipotence, His kingship, His supremacy. These are great big words, but we have a great big God. So what? There's a thought-provoking and sobering passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 that tells us the so what. The fact that God is in heaven, how should that affect the way that we pray? Listen to Ecclesiastes 5, verses 1 and 2. "Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, Let your words be few. You hear a lot of people blaming God today for a lot of things. A lot of people shaking their fist in God's face. How could a good God do? How could a good God allow? Where was God when? And people will pontificate and shake their fist at God and swear in his face at times, and we wouldn't quite do it that way. But how often are our hearts wrestling against God, discontented, struggling with his choices? God, how could you? Why didn't you? And the scripture says, God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Recognize the difference. Let your words be few. Worship him. Bow before him. Bow in the face of mystery that you cannot understand. Speak to him, but don't be rash. Don't say things that you wouldn't say if you realized who you were talking to and where he is. God is in heaven. You are on earth. And let me just say, the other side of that is that our Father in heaven also lives in our hearts. Not just in some remote place we can't fathom that's high off in other. And I think that means that we should experience something of heaven on earth because of his presence in our lives. We experience now, or we can, a foretaste of eternity in heaven. Because heaven is where God lives. And if God lives in my heart and is being allowed to reign and to rule over my life, then no matter what kind of circumstances may be going on around me, no matter how chaotic may be my mate, my children, my people in my workplace, the people in the church, the people in the world, the terrorists, all that, no matter what's going on, I can have a bit of heaven on earth in my heart because God lives there and he is our Father in heaven.
I never realized why it's so meaningful to pray to our Father in heaven. It's one of the many insights I've gotten from Nancy Lee DeMoss during our current series called The Lord's Prayer. Your prayers are important to revive our hearts. We want women to discover, embrace, and delight in Christ. We can't do it without the prayer support of our listeners. Some listeners feel so strongly about the mission of Revive Our Hearts, they've committed to pray regularly for the ministry. They also give monthly and share the message with others. They're called the Ministry Partner Team. When you join this team, you'll get regular communication from Revive Our Hearts. You'll also be able to attend one conference per year at no charge. And when you sign up here in September, we'll show our gratitude by sending a signed copy of Nancy's brand new book, The Quiet Place. If you're ready to partner with us in this way, get more details at reviveourhearts.com or call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Well, do you ever profane the name of God? It's easier to do than you might think. We'll look at exactly what this means tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Now, let's close our time praying with Nancy.
Teach us, Father, to exalt you in a way that is worthy of you. To say few words, but heartfelt words. To recognize that you are great, you are high, you are lifted up. We are on earth. And we thank you that you are our Father in heaven. And as such, we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.